Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to night three of our revival of the last seven words. And I hope you've enjoyed the night, your night so far here. And tonight, we're going to have our very own Pastor Colleen Daly. And, you know, as a format of what we're doing this year in our this year's revival, we're going to have Mother Janice Hudson pray us in to tonight's service. And then after Mother Janice's prayer, we're going to have the song Glorious, and we don't own the rights, but we're just doing it for praise and worship. And and after that song plays, we're going to hear the voice of who we've been waiting for tonight, Pastor Colleen Daly. So let's get started. And so to get us started, Mother Janice Hudson, would you please bring us into prayer?
Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. I just want to thank God for this evening. Thank God for the service tonight. Heavenly Father, I come to you as humble as I know how. Ask you, Father, please to give the word, let the words that come out of Pastor's mouth tonight be heard over these airwaves, to be touched, that they touch a lot of lost souls, Lord Jesus, to bring a lot of lost souls into your kingdom. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you do, everything you've done, and everything you're going to do in our lives. Cover us all in your blood from the top of our heads to the sole of our feet, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, just please be the glory to us all. Hallelujah. It's your will and your way, Father God. And I just want to thank you for everything. It's in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that prayer, Mother Janice. And before we get started with the song Glorious, let's just say a couple words about Pastor Colleen Daly. Pastor Colleen Daly is the founder and CEO of this very network, Purpose Kingdom Network, and it has been established since 2016. And it has gave birth to many different ministries, and we thank we thank God for this woman of God that has had the vision to create this network, and also to uphold and back the many other ministries that have came forth from this very own network. And without further ado, we're going to play the song Glorious, and the next voice you hear will be Pastor Colleen Daly.
Come on, make a joyful noise in this house. Make a joyful noise.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless and we praise God for this, our third night of the Last Seven Word Revival. I am Pastor Talene Daly, and I have been chosen to speak on the third word. And the third word can be found in the book of John, chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. And I will be reading from the King James Version. And it says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Father God, we just thank you, we bless you, and we praise your holy name, Father. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that we are believing you to do, Father God. As we come before you this evening, Father, we come first and foremost as bad children before a good parent, asking forgiveness of any sins that we may have committed, whether knowingly or unknowingly, Father God, sins of omission as well as sins of commission, Father God. We ask you to forgive us and that you cast them into yonder sea of forgetfulness, that they not rise up against us in that day of judgment. Then, Father, we come before you asking you to look down on your people this evening, Father. As you see each and every one of us, you know what each and every one of us stands in need of, Father. We ask, Father, that as you met the need of your mother standing at the foot of the cross, that you will meet the needs of your people this evening in the mighty name of Jesus. Then, God, we ask that you toil the soil of our minds, that your word will fall on good ground this evening, Father God, that when we separate from this place, Lord, we will be walking epistles of your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Then, God, as I always do, I surrender myself before you. I hide behind the throne of glory, Father, asking that as I decrease, you increase, bringing forth a word unto these your people, that you will bring not just an illuminating word, Father, but a life-changing word, a word that will hold the enemy at bay just long enough that some lost soul may come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then, Lord, I ask that you will allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, I will be speaking on the word, woman, behold thy son, and son, behold thy mother. Here we see a horrible yet marvelous scene unfolding before our eyes. This, the God-man, the incarnate power of God, the source of all life and all that has and will be created, hanging before us on this cross. As we look upon him, we see that he has been brutally beaten. His body is swollen and split open in spots. He's dehydrated and suffering from severe shock as well as hypothermia. And he is now dying on the cross. But not only is he is dying in excruciating pain. Now, someone may say, why is that to us? Why would I talk about the fact that he was in such excruciating pain? Well, if you remember, there were two others hanging on the cross with him, and I have to dare to say that they were not suffering like Jesus was. I'm only going back right here so that you can understand exactly where we are. If you look in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, Luke, chapter 23, Mark, chapter 15, and as well as the book of John, chapter 19, all four Gospels talk about the two thieves that were hung with Jesus. Amen. It says that one was hung on his right side and one was hung on his left side. But I still say, and the word of God proves, that although they were hung with him, they did not suffer as Jesus did. Because, see, when you think about those other two thieves that were hanging with him, they got to sleep the night before, whereas Jesus was being led from judgment hall to judgment hall. When you think about the two thieves that were hung with him, while they were being taken to their crucifixion, Jesus was being whipped with a cat of nine tails. When you think about the two thieves, they may have, yes, walked to their crucifixion. However, only Jesus was made to carry his own cross. When you think about these two thieves that were hung on the side of Jesus, even though they were speaking out, when they would rise up, because when a person is hung, the way that they're hung is in such a way so that they will suffocate on themselves. But if they could bear the pain, they can push up some on their feet to take a breath in. And as they were, the word of God tells us that both of them spoke to Jesus from the cross, and I'm not going to get into that because we already did that word, but when they would rise up to speak, their bodies might have rubbed against the wood. Their backs may have rubbed up against the wood. They might have gotten a splinter here or there. However, it into Jesus's already opened wounds when he would rise up to speak. And yet, even with knowing that to rise up caused more pain than what he was already in, Jesus still made seven statements from the cross. Hallelujah, God. And why? Why did he suffer the way that he suffered? All of this could be found when you read the story of Jesus approaching John the Baptist to be baptized. John stated, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And because he was chosen to be the Lamb of God, because he came to be the Lamb of God, the scripture says that Jesus, speaking in eternity, had turned to God and said, "Give me that body which you had prepared for me." Hallelujah, God. So he was the Lamb of God. And because he was the Lamb, if you ever read in the book of Exodus, there were some things that had to be done to the Lamb. Hallelujah. If you read about the first Passover, you know that the Lamb had to be a year old without a spot or a blemish. You know that the Lamb had to be selected by the entire congregation, which they did on Palm Sunday, which we just celebrated the remembrance of yesterday. You know that the high priest or someone had to declare that the Lamb was without fault, without spot or blemish. And after being examined all night long, the word of God tells us that Pilate stood up and said, "I find no fault with this man." But remember, the whole congregation had to be present, and the whole congregation was present for the crucifixion, because the word of God tells us that when Pilate presented him, the people screamed to crucify him. It was bad enough that he was lied on. It was bad enough that screaming for him to be crucified. It was bad enough how they mocked him all the way to the cross. And now, as the Passover lamb is hanging on the cross dying, still all around the cross, people are ridiculing him. They are insulting and taunting him, him whose words is what holds the entire universe together, yet that which he created is using their words to mock and taunt the creator. I need you to see this. Him who healed some of these people was still being taunted by those he healed. Him who had delivered some of these people had family members there taunting and ridiculing Jesus as he hung on the cross. Now, for a side note, I pray that we who say we are saved. We who say we have been delivered do not live in our lives a way which we ridicule what Jesus did for us on the cross. Out somebody. I know that might have stung a little bit, but we got to remember that we cannot crucify him afresh daily. Amen. We have to live our lives in such a way that we remember who he is, that he who had the sins of the world placed upon his shoulders, not just those that came before him in those centuries before him, but those who would come in every century after him and in every century that may still yet come. Those sins were placed on him, and there we see him hanging on the cross. And who is there with him, looking through tear-filled eyes, broken heart, crumbled faith? Five people. When you think about the 5,000, he said, only five people are standing with him. Out of all those he had healed, only five people. I mean, remember Thomas had said once, let us also go that we may die with him. But where was Thomas now? Peter said that he would follow Christ even unto death, but where was Peter now? Out of all those that followed him on a daily basis, we find only five people willing to follow him to the cross. And they were the first four, Mary of Magdalene, Mary, the wife of Clopas, Mary's sister, which would have been Jesus' aunt, and John. And these four was holding up the only one there at that particular point in history, hallelujah, God, who was able or who is able to feel anything close to the physical pain of what Jesus was experiencing. She was the one who was told at his conception who he was, and the one who was told when he was only 8 physical days old that a sword would pierce through her own soul also in Luke 2:35. Who am I talking about other than his mother? Now, some of you may think that I'm crazy because I said she could feel what he was feeling, but see, you wouldn't understand that unless you are a mother. If there are any real mothers listening out there this evening, I need somebody who can testify to what we feel in our hearts, in our souls, and in our bodies when we see our child is somewhere hurting and there's nothing that we can do. When we see them suffering and we know that there's nothing we can offer to bring them comfort or to ease their pain. When they lock up our young children behind bars and tell you that they can't give you any information about your child. The mother who holds her child when he or she is seriously injured. Or the mother who sits there rocking her child back and forth waiting for the doctor to come into the room. Or the mother whose child may be passing away and all she can do is hold her child as they take their last breath. I need some mothers who are willing to testify about the pain that we experience as a mother, about the tears that we have shed before the Lord on behalf of our children, the sleepless nights of laying before the Lord in prayer. I know everybody may not know what I'm talking about, but I do and truly believe that there are some saved mothers out there listening this evening who can say, yes, they understand the pain that Mary felt as she was watching her child. And the funny part is that Mary could not even do that. She couldn't hold her child. She wasn't waiting for a doctor to come in. All she could do was look at her baby. There's a gospel song that we often hear around Christmas time. It's It's a newer song, and it asks the question, Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know who your baby boy was? Or did you know who your baby boy is? Did you know when you kissed your baby boy's cheeks or held his hand that you were kissing the face of God? It says, Mary, did you know? Well, the answer to that question is yes, Mary knew. Yet she knew that he was the Savior. She knew that he was the incarnate Word of God. She knew that he was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world was put in place. She knew who he was, but you have to understand, to marry the one who carried him for 9 months, for Mary, the one who pushed him out into this realm of existence. You know, they say Eve birthed sin when she ate of the apple, so it's only fitting that Mary, another woman, would birth in salvation. Hallelujah, God. But even in all of this, yes, she knew. And even in knowing that almost at 33 years old, I dare to say, as she looked, knowing all of who he is and who he was, all she saw was her baby. So she offered the only thing to her child that she could in that situation, as he looked out on his abusers. She looked out on his ridiculers and his butchers. She was determined that in spite of the pain it may cause her, her child would see the face of at least one person in the midst of all this hatred who loved him, who knew who he is, who knew whose he was, that one person that could look on him with pity because of what he had chosen to go through for the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Now, the scripture says that when Jesus saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Now, we have to stop there, because when you hear woman, behold, at first glance, some may ask why Jesus said woman instead of mother. Well, the truth is, he said woman not out of disrespect to her, but because if you think about it, calling her mother would have cut into her heart that was already burdened with grief. Jesus wanted to ease her burdens. Hallelujah, God. That takes me to Jesus wants to ease our burdens. He said, take my yoke upon me, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. He said, even though he was going through this unimaginative grief, he still stopped to ease her burdens. Hallelujah, God. To call his mother mother could have also possibly brought ridicule and taunting on her, though he was bearing it all for us. Jesus wanted to protect her. And now in this statement, he is about to provide for her. He said, woman, behold thy son. Now, behold means look, open your eyes, pay attention, observe with care. Because in these words, Jesus was doing more than just presenting John to his mother. But I believe he was saying to her, look at your son. Look at what they have done to me. And look that even in what they have done to me, I am still identifying as your son. Hallelujah, God. That lets us know that Jesus still continues to identify with mankind today. He continues to reveal himself as the Savior. Hallelujah, God. Praise God that he didn't reject me. Hallelujah. Praise God that he loved me when I was unlovable. See, I don't know about you. I can only talk about what he's done for me. But I can tell you what he's done for me, he will do for you also. Because Jesus wants to identify with you today if you will only see him, if you will only behold the Son. Hallelujah, God. It said that he presented himself in behold the Son as a son of compassion. Hallelujah. Jesus loved his mother deeply. Even in his dying moments, he was still concerned about her physical well-being. What a picture of a compassionate Savior. Hallelujah. It was his love that took him to the cross. Max Lucado, I believe, wrote a book called He Chose the Nails. Hallelujah, God. I believe if one of the soldiers would have had a second thought and said, no, he didn't do anything wrong, we can't nail him to the tree, I believe Jesus would have begun to nail in the nail himself, because he came for the tree. He chose the nail. He chose this situation. And even in this situation, he is showing compassion to his mother, which means that he will show compassion unto us. Look what it says in Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah. Had he not loved us, he would have never died for us. If he loved us, hallelujah, God, if he loved us enough to die for us, surely he continues to love us even now in his resurrection. But he also said, behold, the Son of Redemption. See, this is the part. Jesus wanted Mary to look upon the cross differently than how she was looking. Amen. He wanted her to view the sacrifice that was made for her sins also. Hallelujah, God. Jesus wanted her to see him no more as her son, but as her savior. Because despite what some of us may teach, yes, Mary was highly favored of the Lord. Yes, she was privileged above all women who ever lived, and that she was chosen to bear the Messiah. However, with all of those accolades, Mary was just a woman. She was just a human, and she too needed a savior. She too needed to believe upon Jesus as the Messiah. Hallelujah. Woman, behold your son, because he is no more her son. The tie of being mother and son is being broken, and a new one is being created where it is worshiper and savior. However, Mary needed him to be her savior more than she needed him to be her son. Hallelujah, God. Yet remember, this is the word of God incarnate. And he says that God would supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And at that particular moment, what was Mary's need? She needed her son. Hallelujah. Why did she need her son? Because during those times, a widowed woman could not inherit from her husband. Amen. The inheritance went to the firstborn or the eldest son, who then in turn were to make provisions for their mother. However, Mary's firstborn is now hanging on Calvary. Hallelujah, God. Mary's firstborn is now showing that he loved us so much that he stretched his hand to be nailed to a tree. Hallelujah. And no matter what it was that she needed, Jesus had the provision. Amen. Hallelujah, God. That's a reason to shout right there. Because no matter what your need may be, you can find it met in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You can find it in God. Hallelujah. That's why we call him Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And at that moment, Jesus put together the provision. He provided a son for his mother. Because then the scripture says that, then saith he, meaning Jesus, to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his home. Now, in this verse, we find the provision of Jesus that he made for his mother, finding confidence in John. But I always wondered what made him choose John. Now, yes, we say because he was there. We can say because he was there. We can also say because he was the disciple that Jesus loved. However, not to say he didn't love the other ones, but Jesus and John had a special relationship. And some might even say, well, you know, when the other disciples ran, John ran too. Yes, John ran too, but the difference is he the only one that came back. Mm. Hallelujah. That's another reason, a shout point right there. Hallelujah, God, that if you turned and ran from Jesus, the door is still open. Hallelujah. Until he raptures up his church to go home. Hallelujah, God. The door is open for you to run back to him. Hallelujah. The door is open for you to return to him. But understand what happened here, and we're going to be wrapping it up, that when he chose John, John showed us something important. Amen. John didn't get to complaining about the extra burden that Christ was placing on him. He didn't look at him and say, well, Jesus, you know, I'm already taking care of my own mother and my mother-in-law. He didn't say, Jesus, I don't know if my wife is going to let me bring her into the house. He didn't look at him and say, Jesus, you know, a couple of times we ain't had nothing to eat, and it wasn't for you and them three fish and two loaves of bread, or if it wasn't for you making us catch all them fish out at sea that day, or if it wasn't for you making the fish come up with some money in his mouth, we might not have eaten. So how you want me take him? No, he didn't do any of that. The scripture says that when he selected John, John just took his mother in. In other words, John received his marching orders and marched out to do that which he was commanded. Hallelujah, God. But the other part that I had to take notice of is that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, where was his sibling? Where was his brother, his sister? We know that there were at least four half-brothers that was born to Mary and Joseph. None of them sought to come hold their mother up. Even if they didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, they knew that Mary was their mother and that their mother was hurting. Yet none of them were there. None of them at the cross. None save John and his mother and the other three. Now, again, we look at the submission of John. As I said, John, the disciple he loved, took her without hesitation. I need us to understand that he took her without hesitation. Now, yes, if we all think about it, we have all had a time where we sat back and said, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. Lord, you didn't tell me this much was going to come with it. Lord, you didn't say, but no matter what it was that he asked us to do, that we may have questioned or reasoned in our minds that someone else should probably do it because we know our own sins and know that we fall way, 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 way short of the glory of God and can't even understand why he would choose to ask us to do it. But what I need you to know is that God will not ask you to do anything that he has not given you the ability and or the means to perform it. Hallelujah, God. The Lord will not ask you to perform a task that he doesn't equip you to perform. Hallelujah, God. It may not be exactly what we envisioned or desired, but through him, we can accomplish it. We just need to be like John and to submit, trust in him. Hallelujah, God. Now, if you remember at the start of this, I said there were five people at the foot of the cross. And anybody that knows me know that I look at numbers. I look at details. Details, even numbers are significant. And a lot of times we miss when we're talking about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, when we're going over the last seven statements of Christ from the cross, a lot of times we often miss that number five. Why is the number five so important for us today? Because five is God's number for grace. Hallelujah, God. That's right. Mercy may have been on the cross dying, but mercy has a twin, and her name is grace. Grace and mercy were hanging out on Calvary that day with Jesus. Grace and mercy, two fraternal twins. They're not identical. They don't look exactly alike. But I will tell you this, you never see one without seeing the other. Hallelujah, God. That's why the psalmist said, grace and mercy follows me. all the days of my life. Hallelujah, God. The two of them roll together. And what you have to understand is mercy is when God does not give us what we deserve to get. We deserve to die, not Jesus. He had no sins. We have been disobedient to God, not Jesus. He came fulfilling the will of the Father, even unto death. Hallelujah, God. But we deserve to die. So that's why I say it was mercy that put Jesus on that cross. But grace, hallelujah, God. Grace is when God gives us something that we don't deserve. And what did God give us that we don't deserve? Life and life everlasting through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He did. Grace was represented at the foot of the cross with those five people: Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary's sister, Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and John. Hallelujah, God. Grace and mercy. Hallelujah, God. Some people sit and ask me why I do some of the things the way that I do it. Why do I walk like I'm walking with an army? I'm not walking with an army. I'm just walking with grace and mercy. Ha ha. Hallelujah, God. Even in doing this tonight, it's grace and it's mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God, for grace. Hallelujah, God, for mercy. See, the grace and the mercy, I say that grace was extended to us that day, not just because Jesus met the need of his mother and his closest friend at their weakest moment, for we always talk about how Jesus provided for his mother and how he provided for his friend, but what we miss is the significance of that provision. Hallelujah, God. Somebody said, well, what do you mean we miss the significance of that? Well, the word of God tells us, if you remember in him providing for his mother, he it extends out to us. Somebody saying, show me proof. Well, if you remember, there was a time that Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his siblings, her other children, came looking for the master, and they came up to him and said, Master, your mother and brothers and sister are here to see you. Hallelujah, God. He said, they are here to see you. And he said to them, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And you can find that in Matthew chapter 12, verses 48 to 50. Hallelujah, God. So when he looked out for Mary, he just said, if we do the will of the Father, if we follow him, hallelujah, God, if we stay with him, he will provide for us. Hallelujah, God. In Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. And what he showed us on the cross is there's nothing that he could go through or be going through that would stop him from providing for you. There's nothing he could be going through that would stop him from providing for me. Hallelujah, God. He said he will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. I want to leave you with this thought. We each have the same privilege and the obligation that both Mary and John received as they stood at the foot of the cross. We have the privilege and the obligation to behold the Lamb of God, to behold the Son as he hung on the cross dying for our sins, as he hung on the cross becoming the sacrificial Lamb of God. Hallelujah, God. As he hung on the cross being our atonement sacrifice, as he hung on the cross being our Passover sacrifice, as he hung on the cross being our peace offering, hallelujah, God, as he hung on our cross, being our morning, early morning and early evening offering, hallelujah, as he hung on the cross, dying for each and every one of you, we have the obligation to behold the Lamb of God. We also have the obligation, after we behold the Lamb, to submit to his will for our lives. Now, if you beheld him as the Son of God that takes away the sins of the world, then you stand in a good standing. But if you never have beheld him as the Son of God, if you never accepted the gift of life that he gave to each and every one of us, this is your opportunity to come and to surrender your life to him now, because he surrendered his life for you. And it's not something that's hard to do. You just simply say, Father, here I am. I'm standing here on your word, believing on your word, accepting the gift of your word. For the word of God tells us in John chapter 1, verse 14, that the word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. We are accepting your word, Father. Now we ask Jesus into our lives. We ask him to forgive us of our sins. We ask him to begin to make us new. We ask him to lead us, to guide us. We ask him to have us be willing workers for him. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you said that prayer with me, guess what? There's a celebration going on in glory, for you are now saved. Your sins have been forgiven. The death that Jesus suffered over 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross is now significant for you because you've accepted him in your life. Brother Rob is going to come on and he's going to tell you how you can join in with us tomorrow as we continue with the revival. And then I will be right back to close us out. Amen, Brother Robert.
Amen, amen, amen. All right. Thank you so much, Pastor Tylene, for tonight's word. We really, truly appreciate it. We hope that whatever was poured out of you will be poured back in some 100-fold, 1,000-fold, and maybe more. We just really appreciate the word that was brought forth tonight. Okay. I hope everyone enjoyed night three of the holy revival of the last seven words. Okay. And tomorrow, we're going to have our very own Reverend Aaron Williams from DTW Ministries on here tomorrow night at 8:30. Okay, so please rejoin us tomorrow night at 8:30 for Reverend Aaron Williams. Okay, and his word is going to be, my God, why has thou forsaken me? So please join in tomorrow evening at 8:30. To hear our very own Reverend Aaron Williams from DTW Ministries. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and close out. We're going to return with Pastor Tylene. And Pastor Tylene, excellent word.
Praise God. Bless God. We bless God just for the revival this week, for the last seven words of Christ. We bless God for each and every minister that has been coming forth and that is still to come, for the word of God that is going to be brought forth from each and every one of them. We thank and bless God by faith for the souls out there that we believe gave their lives to Christ this evening. We thank each and every one of you for joining in with us. And I just want to say, listen, I am a living testimony to the satisfaction you can find in serving the Lord according to his plan for your life. I want you to understand that it's not always easy. There are some days that you cry. There are some days that you feel lonely. There are some days that you just sit there like, God, okay, what can happen next? But what I want you to understand is that in the midst of all of those days, if you trust God, if you trust in Jesus, he will stand by you closer than any brother, any sister, any mother, any father. He will never leave you nor forsake you, like he said in his word. How do I know that to be true? Because as I said, I'm a living testimony of the provision that God makes on a daily basis. I don't have because of a job. I have because I got God. Hallelujah. Some of y'all think y'all got stuff because you got a job. No, honey, you got what you got because God got it and he gave it to you. Hallelujah, God. So I just thank and bless God for each and every one of you for joining in the night. Remember, it is about beholding the Son and being obedient and submissive to his will for your life. Know that I love you all with the love of Christ. I'll be praying for you and praying with you. See you tomorrow night, 8:30, for the fourth night of our seven night, the seven last words revival. God bless you.
Jesus lives.
He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose. Set me free. I will not lose.
Never want to see me down. I will not lose.
He saved me.